It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Smith rifles that one to Mims. And that's a foot race. He's going to win. Touchdown, Baylor. Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards. Five straight games, Anthony, where he's got a touchdown catch of over 20.
That's deflected and picked off Mosley. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Fell into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder. 85 yards.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to get to know your foe on a strange day this week. Normally, we'd be doing this closer to the weekend, but of course, the Jets are on Thursday Night Football in front of the entire country this week. God help us on that one. So we're going to get to know your foe a little bit early. Normally, we'd have midweek with Manish today instead. Manish is going to be on tomorrow so that he can help preview the game against the Broncos and get you ready with the latest news as we get you set for kickoff. So to talk about the Broncos and teach you a little bit about what you need to know for this pivotal matchup. And normally, of course, you have two 0-3 teams. You would say pivotal matchup. What are you talking about? But we know that if the Jets lose, there could be something interesting that happens in Jetland involving Adam Gase. Fingers crossed. We'll see how that goes. I wanted to bring in somebody that I really trust to give us the lowdown on the Broncos. And so I got one of the best out there. He's the co-host of the Mainly Broncos podcast and a writer for Predominantly Orange, Mr. Cameron Parker. Cameron, thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. It's you know, at least for our sake, it should be an enjoyable Thursday. So I guess maybe, well, I guess depends on the NFL landscape. That's the hope, is that it's an enjoyable Thursday for Jets and Broncos fans, I guess. But yeah, it's just exciting to certainly be on here again and talk about the Broncos going up against the Jets.
So let's talk about the Broncos offense first. The first two games, they were competitive. They were close, and then they got smashed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is it just a matter of Drew Lock not being in that offense makes everything else stall? I know Cortland Sutton is out, but it seems like without Lock, they've had a lot of problems. With him, they were much more competitive. Is that the key ingredient so far?
Not to use that as an excuse, but I will say that the injury bug has really plagued the Denver Broncos this year. Maybe, I believe I was perusing through the Twitterverse just today, and I looked in, apparently, according to our Mike List, who's like the leader of Broncos Twitter for media members, he had mentioned that $53 million of the players are on IR. And at least based off of our roster alone, he said that 30% of the players that are on our roster are on IR. Like, that, it's just an insane number. You know, losing Von Miller, losing Drew Lock, losing Cortland Sutton. We actually recently just lost our right tackle, starting right tackle. So now we'll have DeMar Dotson come in and really fill that void. A guy, ironically enough, who came from Tampa, but I just think that, you know, the Broncos were doing a really nice job of really trying to go through all of these injuries and see if they can really keep those games close. And really kudos to them, because they were able to keep those games close and keep them close with top AFC playoff contenders and back-to-back games. I think that the one game that gave me a lot of confidence was that Pittsburgh game, because, you know, you had a guy like Drew Lock go down, your potential franchise quarterback go down. And then you had Jeff Driscoll come in, and for some reason, and if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you're probably taking all your hair out of your head, knowing the fact that the Broncos actually had a legitimate chance to win that game. And I just think that, you know, the fact that the Broncos were able to keep it close for the majority of that, a lot due to defense and kind of manufacturing all those points. But then you come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, and maybe it was just, you know, the Brady-isms and him coming to Denver and really wanting to prove that he can beat the Denver Broncos and, you know, prove that he can have that opportunity to, I guess, win again against Denver, because that was the one team that he had a losing record against. I just think that it was just those cases where just all the Pistons were not firing for Denver. The injury bug obviously is probably a legitimate excuse, but the secondary was, you know, just not where it needed to be. I mean, they had a lot of weapons. The Buccaneers had a lot of weapons. They did fine, certainly, but with the type of weapons that Tampa Bay had, you know. But on the offensive side of things, that's really where it just absolutely just hit the fan for the Broncos. I mean, the quarterback Driscoll, who played pretty well against the Steelers, he was holding on to the ball too long and just started getting hit after hit after hit. I believe even into the Pittsburgh Steelers game, and then as well as with the Buccaneers, I think he accumulated over like 29 QB pressures or something like that, and over 10 plus hits, like in a max of two games. I mean, that's an absurd number. I mean, it shows that he's just holding onto the ball too long. And it's one of my biggest worries coming into Thursday night, because the Jets do blitz around like 30% of the time, you know, and the Broncos are probably on the lower end, which is about 18 to 20%. But just still on that 30% side of blitzing, that's to the point where the Broncos have to make sure that they protect Jeff Driscoll. And no Elijah Wilkinson there at right tackle with Dotson there, you know, it's going to say something. But because of the fact that Driscoll did not play great, he's not going to be starting either. So, I mean, they're going to have a new starting quarterback there in Brett Rypien. So it's a bit of an unknown there.
Has it been the offensive line letting everybody down in addition to Drew Lock not being there? Because the Broncos have Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay, which on paper should be a good rushing attack, although it looks like Lindsay may not play in this game on Thursday. But still, two really good running backs, and they haven't seemed to get anything going. The Broncos are near the bottom in passing and rushing offense. What's going wrong there beyond just the QB?
I got to say, it's probably even still a little bit of the offensive line. I'd say it's probably more so on the right side of the offensive line. You know, Wilkinson had been getting beat, and the middle of the offensive line was center, and with Cushenberry, I think he'll be fine long term, but I do believe that Cushenberry had been getting worked. And, you know, when you go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers game with guys like Cameron Hayward, you know, and then going up against Vita Vea, who absolutely destroyed Cushenberry. And it wasn't just Vita Vea. I mean, you had Ndamukong Suh down there as well with that Tampa Bay front. I mean, the Tampa Bay front's probably the best in football as far as a front seven, a true front seven. And it was just a nightmare. And when you factor in, of course, you know, the Steelers and the Buccaneers blitz, probably the most of any team in football lately. It was kind of a really bad recipe. And then, of course, you put the young quarterbacks onto it. It was a really bad recipe for success. And I think a lot of it is Drew Lock not being there. But at the same time, not to use even this as an excuse either, because it's also an excuse for the Jets and probably for the 30 other teams as well. Not having a preseason has really devastated the Broncos. I mean, the timing is completely off. The chemistry seems to be off. And I don't know whether it would have been, you know, one preseason game, two preseason games. But all in all, the Broncos, and I just say the majority of the NFL, really do need at least some sort of preseason game. So unfortunately, we didn't get it.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk about Brett Rypien before we get to some of the young players in the passing game. What do we need to know about him? Because he's somebody that we knew a little bit about in college, but he wasn't some sort of big-time standout or anything like that. In fact, he was undrafted. What we do know is that he's got good bloodlines because his uncle, Mark Rippon, won 2 Super Bowls in Washington and actually won a Super Bowl MVP. He was also a 2-time Pro Bowler. Can he rise to the level of his uncle on this nationally televised game? We know that Mark Rippon was great at performing in front of the country. Can Brett Rippon do that? What do we know about what the coaching staff thinks here? How's he looked in camp? What are we going to see on Thursday from Brett Rippon?
You know, I think you kind of got a little bit of a glimpse of it last Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he came in. You'll see a quarterback that will have a little bit more of a command of the huddle, a guy that at least on the flip side looked like he could understand schemes and concepts, you know, to potentially design play calls or maybe get out of calls, audible out of calls. And I think that had been something a little bit too with Driscoll that he had been missing. And he just seems like he's cool, calm, and collected. You know, he doesn't necessarily have the strongest arm, but he has enough of that arm to get it there. And he's just one of those guys that he probably won't be in the Broncos' future plans, but he's probably a guy that will be one of those guys that bounces around from team to team to team. But he's at least serviceable. Now, I don't know, because it's still hard to say just due to the fact that this is a Thursday night game and this is a big stage. I mean, even though it is a Broncos and Jets game, you know, as far as way things are shaping out for both teams, it is a primetime game. It is a Thursday night game, and this is his opportunity to show not just the Broncos, but potentially some few other teams that, hey, I can maintain this type of offense. I can maintain this type of chemistry with this team. And I think that it'll be really interesting to see what the offensive coordinator does, Pat Shurmur. I mean, does he let it just all out with Brett Rippon on this Thursday night? I think it's going to be really interesting. He might have a lot of chemistry like Driscoll with those guys like a Jerry Jeudy, a KJ Hamler, potentially even some of the younger guys as well as on the offense. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, that type of chemistry unfold with some of those young playmakers.
Speaking of the young playmakers, Cameron, we know that they invested heavily in the offseason, not only this year, but the year before. They went out and they got Noah Fant, who's very promising. Jerry Jeudy was a first-round draft pick. You mentioned KJ Hamler, who's got great speed. What have you seen from these guys so far this season, and what do you expect them to do in Pat Shurmur's offense against Greg Williams' defense when they play the Jets on Thursday?
Yeah, I think in particular, one of the bright spots with Noah Fant had been, you know, the physicality. And we see so much. And granted, it's a tight end position, but it's, I believe, this Zach Azani, who's the wide receiver coach, he's created this mental toughness to just forget the play ahead and just forget the things that happened. And we saw it with Courtland Sutton after his first season. And you know, one of the knocks on Courtland Sutton coming out of college was his route running, and just potentially his hands. I mean, there were some drops issues with Sutton, and if you look at Noah Fant in his rookie season, he experienced drops, and there was at times some lack of toughness. He finished the year strong, but then you come into the first early part of the 2020 season, and Fant has really stormed onto the scene in a big way, becoming arguably statistically the best tight end in football. And I just think that with Noah Fant, you're looking at it just this tight end that really is coming into his own with a offensive coordinator that is very tight end friendly, mind you. I mean, he's done a lot of work with Zach Ertz. He's done a lot of work with Evan Engram before. And Kyle Rudolph as well. I mean, but all three of those tight ends have been very prominent in the NFL circles as far as being a top tight end at the next level. And clearly we're starting to see that with Fant. I think that with Jerry Jeudy, you're looking at a guy that, according to Zach Azani, this has been a guy that had been on his radar maybe since high school. And I think that for Azani, he clearly values this type of receiver. He's done a lot of work with Antonio Brown in the past. And he, I don't know whether he sees a type of Antonio Brown type skill set with Jerry Jeudy, but there's enough playmaking and what he can do with the ball in his hands after the catch that makes him such a special wide receiver. And if you look at just even his pure route running, there may not have been a more refined player at the wide receiver position to come out of the draft in a very long time. I personally don't think it's a very lofty comparison, but if you look at a true prospect, Jerry Jeudy may have been the most refined prospect to really come out, maybe since Larry Fitzgerald. Just a guy that, you know, had a true command of what he could, you know, what he could certainly do at wide receiver. He currently himself, interestingly enough, is experiencing drops. But we all know with his skill set, that's really the only issue that he had coming out of college. So it'd be interesting with a young quarterback like a Brett Rypien, what can he do to help that young quarterback? Can he get off that line rather quick? You know, can Shurmur give those short screenplays to guys like KJ Hamler or even Jerry Jeudy to really get that ball in the hands really quickly? And for KJ, you're looking at a guy that could run slot fades, the play slot fades for days. I mean, you know, he is just this pure speed guy that down the line, you're talking about a guy that, and even this is a little bit of a bold statement, but you're talking about a guy that could maybe even be more valuable for the standpoint between he and Jerry Jeudy. And then as far as just the pure talent, I will still give the nod to Jerry Jeudy. But as you well know too, even with we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs offense before we were started recording, guys like Tyreek Hill, those people help dictate exactly what a defense has. And if the type of speed that KJ has, you're looking at a guy that will help, especially young quarterback, the reading a defense and at least helping out guys like Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy get open.
Let's talk a little defense, Cameron, because we've talked plenty about what to expect on the offensive side of the ball. But with Von Miller out, it's a very different Denver defense. They still have some playmakers there, but they haven't performed all that well the first couple of weeks. What's going on there? What are we going to see on Thursday?
I think if we're looking at like the true excuse, as far as the preseason games, that's probably where we're seeing the true excuse. I just think that the timing has just been off a little bit. I mean, and to a certain extent, I guess the excuse for Bradley Chubb is just that he's recovering from an ACL injury. And so the timing, him hitting a stride, that's going to take a little bit of time. And for Broncos fans that are listening to this, I would just demand patience even with that, because an ACL injury, this is not like Adrian Peterson where he's coming back from an ACL injury for like 2 weeks. It wasn't 2 weeks, but you guys get the picture. I mean, the guy was a machine and coming back from the ACL injury, but we just need to be patient with that. And I just think that even with guys like Malik Reed and Jeremiah Atachu, that's where they're really going to have to make their money. Now, they did suffer another huge hit on the injury side of things. Jarrell Casey, the guy they traded from the Tennessee Titans for a 7th-round draft pick, he's out for the year. And so, I mean, that's another tough blow on the defensive line, starting defensive line. So guys like Mike Purcell, who's a very solid and really good football player on that defensive front, is going to end up really taking a lot of that role. So that's going to leave some of those young guys, you know, like a Deshaun Williams or McTelvin Aguim. You know, Aguim was a guy they drafted this year. So really they're going to be leaning on a lot of those younger guys here on that defensive line. So if they can create pressure, it's going to help out that secondary. Really the lone bright spot of the cornerbacks has been Michael Ojemudia, Bryce Callahan. Well, between the two of them, it's been Ojemudia and Bryce Callahan, but it's still a tall order to ask for, you know, two rookie corners, guys like Michael Ojemudia and Asang Bassey as their slot corners, a slot corner and their boundary corner, to just, especially in the Tampa Bay game, to cover guys like Mike Evans or a Scotty Miller or even a Chris Godwin for that matter as well. So it's a lot to ask. OJ Moody did quite well. Statistically, he did quite well in the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, you know, it's just one of those things that they're going to have to build off of. But the defense is one of those things where they're going to have to make sure that they create turnovers. That's really the key. And the turnovers are one of the biggest themes, not just for the Broncos, but just theme-wide with the NFL. If you can create turnovers, win the turnover battle, you will win a lot of football games.
A lot harder to do with all the injuries. The aforementioned Mike Kliss posted that half of the Broncos salary cap is on injured reserve right now, including Von Miller, A.J. Bouye, and Jarrell Casey, who you mentioned before. So a lot of playmakers there who could potentially produce turnovers, not able to do that. So we'll see what the Broncos do. And that's the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, Cameron, was what are the Broncos going to do? The Jets don't seem to have very many strengths right now, if we're being honest. Sam Darnold is struggling mightily. Le'Veon Bell was having trouble before he got hurt. Now it's Frank Gore, who isn't doing all that much. The offensive line really started to crumble, especially since there's been some injuries. Not really any wide receivers to make plays. Most of those guys are hurt anyway. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they can't stop anybody. So if you're the Denver Broncos, you're Vic Fangio working with the defense, you're Pat Shurmur, who we know pretty well here in New York, and if you ask Giants fans, they're not going to say anything positive about him. But those two guys are going to be at the controls of the offense and the defense on Thursday. How do you expect them to game plan for the Jets?
Going to be interesting. I think on the offensive side of things, it will be very fascinating, because once again, it's another quarterback. And for the schematics, you absolutely have to make your quarterback comfortable 100%. And that's going to have to end up being those short passes, those short intermediate throws, to where they can also help the pass rush of the Jets, but just more importantly, get Ripon comfortable. You know, get those short passes to Melvin Gordon, get the short passes to guys like Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, just all the weapons at your disposal. And then on the defensive side of things, they have to get to Darnold. I mean, they absolutely have to create pressure. And I just think if you look at it too, it's just been unfortunate with the Jets side of things, because they drafted, or should I say lucked out, into drafting Denzel Mims. And unfortunately, he's been injured. I mean, if we're looking and potentially at the prospects of a number one, and even though he was a number, he was a third round draft pick, I really liked Denzel Mims coming out. I honestly felt like he was worth, and this is again, very high praise for myself, but he was worthy myself of being a potential option at 15 for the Broncos. I liked him that much. And so I just think that, If he can just get back healthy, Darnold will finally at least have a weapon. But of course, he's going to have to get back healthy. And unfortunately, Darnold has been laying really heavily on Braxton Berrios lately. And that's not a huge recipe for success. And now he does have a decent tight end right now in Chris Herndon. But I mean, they're going to have to create a lot of pressure to use a Darnold quote. They're going to have to do it so that he's going to have to see ghosts in the game. I mean, you know, they're going to have to make sure that he creates a lot. They create a lot of pressure on him, turn the ball over. And I guess the one wild card would be guys like a Kellen Ballage, you know, and maybe even a Herndon at that, because at least on the Broncos side of things defensively, it's been the middle of the field. If we're maybe pinpointing the true weakness of a defense for the Broncos, it's been the middle of the field and that linebacking core. They're not able to stop anyone when Josie Jewell is really covering a tight end. I mean, that's really been the key, the weakest link, really, for the Broncos, has just been covering the tight end. So maybe that's an area where if you're Adam Gase and you're trying to smartly diagnose where you can find a weak link, That's probably where I would start.
All I can say is, if you're saying that Kalen Ballage is one of the keys to the Jets potentially having success, then the Jets are in a lot of trouble.
All I know, though, is with the Broncos, there's at least someone that they're playing that is just very unpredictable that is going to end up shining. that no one would have predicted. So I only just throw out that name just as a potential, like, wow, there's a guy that, I mean, well, he's going off. That's not really all that surprising.
If you're somebody that thinks that Cameron's right and maybe Kalen Ballage could be the key to this game, you might want to visit our friends over at MyBookie and place a bet that Kalen Ballage is going to score a touchdown or two, because I bet the odds are really low. So you could win a good deal of money if you place that bet. You could also bet on the game itself. The Jets are underdogs right now at home against the winless Broncos team. That kind of tells you all you need to know about where the Jets are at right now. If you want, you could bet on props. You could bet on futures. Whatever it is you want to bet on, it's all there for you at MyBookie. Just use the promo code OVERTIME. You'll get up to $1,000 in free play and double your first deposit. You might want to listen to what Cameron had to say. Take a few of the tips from what you learned about the Broncos and put them into action on the props. Or you may have heard enough to think that you should bet on the Jets or the Broncos. Either way, head over to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code OVERTIME. You'll get up to $1,000 in free play, and you'll double your first deposit. And Cameron, on that note, I want to see what you think in terms of betting this game. Do you think that the Broncos are going to be able to win this one at MetLife Stadium? You think the Jets are going to get their first win? Is it going to be a situation where it's just going to be a race to the bottom? That's kind of how I feel. I think this is going to be a race to the bottom, and it's sort of going to end up being a low-scoring, ugly game, and whoever wins should be ashamed of themselves. That's more or less where I'm at this point. But I just want it to end with Adam Gase not being here anymore. That's my main objective. What do you think? Are the Broncos going to leave MetLife Stadium Thursday with a victory?
As far as probably who I would potentially betting on if I'm the Broncos, I do think they do come out on top. And I will say that I have a sneaky suspicion that this could either be a Jerry Jeudy game. You know, we recently just had a Justin Jefferson monster game last Sunday. So maybe this is going to end up being the Jerry Jeudy breakout game. I wouldn't exactly call it a breakout game because it is the Jets. but I mean, the other one that I'm still kind of thinking towards is KJ Hamler. I'm feeling pretty confident about KJ Hamler right now.
KJ Hamler should be able to take the top off of the Jets defense if Brett Rypien can find him. And this certainly would make sense to be a breakout game for Jerry Jeudy, because I'm going to let you in on something that's not really a secret right now, Cameron. The Jets secondary has been terrible, particularly the cornerback play. So you would think that Jeudy and Hamler should be able to make some plays. It will be very interesting to watch how this plays out. As I said, I have a feeling that unfortunately it's going to be a race to the bottom, but somebody's O has to go, and we'll see whose O ends up going after this game on Thursday. Cameron Parker of the Mainly Broncos podcast and Predominantly Orange, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Great insight into the Broncos. For those that want to check out your material, get acquainted with what you do, and also get more in depth with what's going on with the Broncos ahead of this matchup on Thursday night, where can they find you and where can they check out your work?
Well, they can actually follow the Predominantly Orange Twitter handle for not just myself, but all the other people that write over there. They can go check out the Twitter handle at Predom Orange, and they can go follow myself at Cameron Parker PO. And if you guys our Bronco fans that are listening to this and have not heard of the Mainly Broncos podcast, you guys can follow us at Mainly Broncos for the Twitter handle. And it's worth noting that it is not the actual wording mainly. It's actually worded like main, like a horse's mane. So it's MANELY Broncos.
Follow Cameron on Twitter and also follow the Mainly Broncos account and Predominantly Orange. Visit Predominantly Orange and check out Cameron's work and listen to his podcast as well. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.